Welcome to the Accenture MIT podcast series. Here's Daniel Jackson, professor of computer science at MIT.
Do you know the game Buzzword Bingo? Each of the participants gets a card with a grid drawn on it, and buzzwords filling the elements of the grid. Then, whenever you hear a buzzword used, you check it off on your card. And if you check off all the buzzwords in some row or column, you shout Bingo, and you win. You can play this game at meetings, or if you're really mean, you can hand out buzzword bingo cards to the audience of a talk without telling the speaker. MIT students famously did exactly this when Al Gore spoke at graduation in 1996. They handed out cards as people came in containing Gore's favorite buzzwords: information superhighway, knowledge worker, client server, and so on. Sadly, he was tipped off in advance, so it wasn't as funny as it might have been. And at one point, when a whole group cheered, he asked, "Did I say a buzzword?" Although buzzwords are often silly, you have to know them. They make up a special language that experts speak, and they provide shortcuts to complicated concepts. It's true that sometimes they don't mean much, but even then, using them marks you as an insider, which can be necessary to be accepted by the group. My favorite buzzwords are the clandestine ones. The ones that are actually completely standard words to the general public, but which have a strange and special meaning to a select group. So at MIT, where I work, for example, a hack is a practical joke that usually takes some clever planning to pull it off, such as putting a working phone booth on top of the MIT dome, or handing out bingo cards at graduation. And working with Accenture, I've learned that the word resource actually refers to an employee. Now there's an interesting buzzword. But behind the buzzwords are the ideas, and they matter more, of course. Software engineering is a fast-moving field, and the growth in buzzwords is a symptom of growth in the field as a whole. There are innovations all the time, and whatever role you play in a software development, whether as a programmer, designer, architect, analyst, manager, or whatever, you need to understand what these innovations are about. It's not just that you need to be able to know how to use the new ideas. You have to know how not to use them too, when that's appropriate. Not to fall for the snake oil salesman, and not to take on a new technology just because it's the new fad. It's easy to become overwhelmed by this proliferation of ideas and concepts, and sometimes it's really hard to tell what's going on. Take service-oriented architecture, for example. What exactly is it? Are services really anything new? Are they different from components? Should services be stateless? And what does that mean exactly? Must a service in a service-oriented architecture, SOA, be accessed by the protocol SOAP, S-O-A-P? Even the acronyms are confusing. The initials SOA in SOAP have nothing to do with service-oriented architecture. SOAP originally stood for Simple Object Access Protocol. But even this interpretation was dropped in version 1.2 of the protocol, maybe because they realized it wasn't so simple anymore. And as some have noted, who aren't great fans of service-oriented architecture, SOA is the acronym for sexually transmitted disease in Dutch. There are two ways to get up to speed on these issues. One way is to immerse yourself in every new technology and learn every little detail. This has two disadvantages. First, it's incredibly time-consuming, and it's not clear that your life is well spent mastering the millions of often inconsistent details of some platform or protocol, only to discover that it's obsolete a year or two later. Second, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. You can learn all the details, but still not really have a good sense of what the big idea is and how to use it effectively. The alternative, the other way, to get up to speed on these things is to concentrate on the fundamentals that they all share, to learn the big ideas on which they rest, and then, once you have a conceptual framework in which to place them, to organize the new things in terms of these big ideas. This way is much more satisfying intellectually, much more effective, and ends up giving you a deeper understanding. So to help you get going on this path, I'm going to try and explain some of the fundamental ideas behind a variety of software structuring notions. Of course, it won't be enough to answer all your questions, but hopefully it will get you going and inspire you to learn more by yourself. I'm actually going to take just one big idea, which I'll reveal in the next podcast. And then, starting with that one idea, we'll explore some of its many applications and ramifications. I don't know if these podcasts will help you become a better player of buzzword bingo. We'll certainly mention many buzzwords and help you put them in context, so you'll have a better sense of what they really mean. And if you ever get caught as a speaker in a game of buzzword bingo, you'll know enough to avoid the buzzwords. You'll really understand what you're talking about, so you'll be able to express yourself in normal, simple words instead. Buzzwords are useful shortcuts, but sometimes they promote laziness. Instead of thinking for yourself, they encourage you to pigeonhole ideas in the categories other people have invented. Sometimes it's good to cut out the experts in the middle and talk to your audience in your own terms. There's a word for that, isn't there? Oh yes, disintermediation. Bingo!
Copyright 2010, Daniel Jackson. Music copyright 2010, Chris Bremer from pianosociety.com.